Now is the time, episode 27. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Friends, spring is finally here in the Pacific Northwest, and man, am I excited about that. In fact, I'm so excited that I'm recording this podcast outside today. So if you hear any background noise or birds singing or something like that, or maybe airplane flying over, that is why, because I'm outside just trying to soak up a little sun here today. But I'm excited to talk with you today because we are going to be talking about worldview, and in particular, what I believe is the main problem with American worldview today, and maybe even Western worldview, but in particular in America. And so we're going to be talking about that, but as always, let me start off with a little update of what is going on in Ukraine and a little bit about what is going on with our family. Now, if you've been watching the news, you know, Eastern Ukraine is just not getting any better over there yet. And the Ukrainian government has started with the Ukrainian army to try to get rid of these separatists in Eastern Ukraine, especially around the towns of Donetsk and Lugansk. But honestly, they've done very little. In fact, yesterday there was a march, a pro-Ukrainian march, actually, in Donetsk. And it was, I think there was about 2,000 people there. It was met by pro-Russian separatists with baseball bats, metal bars, fireworks. I mean, not fireworks that they were shooting into the air, but at the protesters. There were quite a number of injuries as they attacked these protesters. And so pray for the situation in Donetsk. In fact, I talked with a pastor friend yesterday in Donetsk, and he asked me to pray. He said that with the rhetoric that is with some of this pro-Russian separatists, there is actually a very negative feeling towards evangelical Christians, because they are seen as from the West. So I would really ask that you pray for Donetsk and also for the believers in Donetsk. Also, I just was looking at the news this morning, and it looks like the city administration building in Lugansk, which is also there in eastern Ukraine, not far from Donetsk, has been taken over by separatists. And so, yeah, we really need your prayers there. Also, you know, just last weekend, Odessa, which is where we live, has been fairly calm, but there somebody went by a checkpoint that was manned by pro-Ukrainian people, and they threw a grenade into the checkpoint, injured 7 people. Thankfully, no one was killed in that attack. But friends, we do need your prayers for Ukraine. And what I want to mention is that, and you may have already seen this if you follow me, but I did put up a 7-day prayer guide for Ukraine. And it has prayer requests for each day of the week. And I will put a link to that in the show notes for this episode, which is succofamily.org/27. And you can actually just download that. And you know, one thing that we'd encourage you to do is, it's made so it's a printout. You could put it in the bulletin for your church on Sundays, and get your church praying for Ukraine as well. And we would be very grateful if you could do that. So that's what's going on in Ukraine, Eastern Ukraine, still very tough. Definitely, Russia is still trying to make something happen there. And so really, really need to pray for Eastern Ukraine at this time. As far as what's going on with our family, we had a great Easter at Discovery Baptist Church, our sending church. And in fact, I ended up preaching on Easter. I thought I was going to have the Sunday off, but I didn't. My dad wasn't feeling very well, and so I was grateful to have that opportunity to preach. And then last Sunday, we were at Grace Point Church here in Bremerton, not too far away. But, you know, last weekend, I had an opportunity to speak at a youth conference, and it was a Slavic youth conference here in the Northwest near Tacoma, and they had, I guess around 800 youth for this conference, and they invited me as one of their keynote speakers, which was quite a privilege. And so I spoke on worldview, and I'm going to be talking about some of the same topics in this episode of the podcast. So I will also put links, because there are two links there. I spoke twice, and you can watch those on YouTube. They're each, I spoke for about an hour each time about worldview, what it is, the importance of it, and then also about the significance of understanding worldview for witnessing, sharing the gospel, okay? So you can check those out on our website, sukafamily.org/27. But I want to talk with you today about worldview. And, you know, this is something that we have emphasized in our evangelism classes, understanding worldview, because it's important in evangelism. But a lot of people don't even think about what their worldview is, not to mention what the predominant worldview of the culture around them is. So what, well, first of all, let's just talk for a couple of minutes about what is worldview. And, you know, I would define worldview as a filter made up of all your experiences. So it is that thing which interprets all the world around you. And, you know, all your experiences, everything you see, hear, feel, touch, everything you read, all the information that you obtain as you go through life must go through your worldview. Because it is the way that you understand what you experience in life. And based on that understanding, it is the way you react and the way you behave and the way you think about those experiences. But, you know, the interesting thing about worldview is our worldview is always in sort of flux, because we're always gaining new experiences. Because that filter, which we call worldview, is made up of our experiences. And so as we gain new experiences, our worldview slightly changes. Now, a lot of people aren't even aware that they have a worldview, but it's important to be aware of, because, you know, your worldview is not exactly like anyone else's. And your worldview is very much influenced by the culture around you. So the way you see things and understand things is influenced by many things in the culture around you. And, of course, what are those influences? They are, early on, especially childhood, they are family, your friends. Hopefully, it's your church. It can be your coworkers. It can be your school, of course, your education. And one of the big ones today is media. And when I say media, I mean internet, I mean TV, I mean films, I mean music, okay, any kind of media that you consume. So there are a lot of things that really influence your worldview, and we need to be aware of those also, because, you know, we need to keep an eye out and see might that person or that music or that film be influencing the way that I think? Because ultimately, what we want is we want to have a biblically informed world view. Okay? We ultimately want to have a biblically informed worldview. But here's the deal, friends. We live, well, I say we. I know that most of you who listen are in North America. And, of course, this is in English. So most who listen have more of a Western worldview. But it really doesn't matter where you live because, basically, there is no real country today that has a purely biblical worldview. And especially when you talk about America, the problem is that we kind of assume almost, some of the time, that America is a Christian nation. And so therefore, the American worldview is a Christian worldview. And I would say that there are many things in American worldview that are or are the result of a basic Christian worldview, but that is changing very, very quickly, my friends, okay? And so, I want to share with you a little clip from, again, from Oprah Winfrey. I know I shared last podcast a number of clips from Oprah Winfrey, but, and actually when I was looking through those, I found this clip that I'm going to share with you today. But I want to share it with you because I think it helps us understand correctly what is the, I would say probably the largest, most influential of the worldviews in America today, because really Oprah represents that, okay? And so, let's play this little clip here. And as you listen, think carefully about what she's saying and what kind of worldview that represents, okay? Here we go with Oprah.
Tonight, we're taking a chance as we tap into our spiritual side. Anybody know what their spiritual side is? That's good. I am not talking about religion. I am not talking about religion. I am a Christian. That is my faith.
Yes,
I'm not asking
right.
you to
She's
be
a Christian.
If you want to be one, I can show you how.
I wouldn't recommend it, though.
But it is not required. I have respect for all faiths. All faiths. But what I'm talking about is not faith or religion. I'm talking about spirituality. So I want to get clear on what I mean by that. It means, my definition is, living your life with an open heart through love. Living your life with an open heart. Allowing yourself to align with the values of tolerance, acceptance, of harmony, of cooperation, and reverence for life. Life. Now, there is a force, energy, consciousness, divine thread, I believe, that connects all spiritually to...
Okay, let me pause it there for a second. All right, there's already so many things that she has said here that we need to comment on. But did you hear that last one? There's a force, energy, divine thread. Okay, every word, you know, every description or whatever besides just the word, there is a personal God out there, right? But here's what I want to focus in on concerning what Oprah says here. First of all, Oprah says, she makes this distinction, I've not heard anyone make this before, but I think it's more common now in American thought. I'm not talking about faith or religion, I'm talking about spirituality, right? And you're like, wait, how do you make that distinction, Oprah? So she says, we're not talking about faith, religion. And then she claims, I am a Christian and I can show you how, which I would not recommend anyone going to Oprah to figure out how to become a Christian. But she says, we're not talking about what you should believe. And then she goes and then she begins to tell people what to believe. And she begins to say, these are my values. And basically she's saying these are values that you need to have too, which are, what does she say? Tolerance, acceptance, all of these kind of key words. And she also says, I respect all things, okay? What is she really getting at here? What is she really getting at? Okay, I'm going to play just a little bit more because she goes on and gives us a little more information here.
All of us to something greater than ourselves. Now, if you're living in the space of an open heart, you have a blessed life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you are living in the space of an open heart, you have a blessed life. And I believe that there is no life without a spiritual life.
Okay, catch that. She says, I believe, okay? So on one hand, she's trying to say this is not faith. But on the other hand, she says, I believe. And as we listen further, you'll see that she wants you to believe also how she believes.
I want to say that again. There is no life without a spiritual life. Because we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. So are you ready to open your heart? Are you ready? Are you ready to allow abundance and blessings? People can't figure out how I got to be so successful. It is because I have lived in the space of spirit my whole life. My favorite Bible verse, because I am
now
Christian,
she's beginning to preach, I think.
Acts something. I used to know
it. Come on, Oprah, you got
to
know your references.
Y'all can Google it. But it says, thank you, 1728. In God I live and move and have my being. I live and move and have my being. And you want to know why I am really so successful? I knew that at 4 years old. I knew that when my grandmother said, you better watch me.
Okay, well, that's enough for us to understand, I think, what Oprah is getting at. But what I think is really important there is that, first of all, Oprah calls herself a Christian, and yet when she begins to talk about the things that she believes most dearly, they are the values of respect for all, tolerance, acceptance, working together, all of these things which honestly do not represent a Christian worldview. But I do believe they represent maybe the major worldview of America today, which is the worldview of tolerance. Or I like to call it even inclusionism, which has become one of really the highest values and the deepest beliefs in American culture today, where it's not tolerance like it was 30 years ago, where tolerance meant I do not believe the way you believe, but you are allowed to believe that way. But tolerance as in today, where I do not believe as you believe, but I affirm your beliefs. Because all beliefs are good beliefs. And there is no absolute right or wrong. There is no absolute truth. You believe the way that you want to believe. And that really represents, I think, a very dangerous worldview, and in a way, a very difficult worldview for us as Christians to battle against as we try to present God's word and the worldview of the Bible, which says, listen, this way is right and that way is wrong. And I think that really, you know, what is important for us as believers, just first of all, to understand is that these worldviews are influencing our thoughts and our churches today. And we need to be careful to analyze our own lives and make sure that we are not becoming so inclusive of everyone that we lose the absolute truth of the gospel. Because really, the gospel is exclusive. And that sounds so wrong in our world today. But the gospel is exclusive. It says, only through Jesus. All other ways are excluded. And that represents a completely different worldview from the major worldview of America today, which is respect all, honor all, affirm all religions and beliefs. So, I want to probably talk about this again in another episode, but I'm going to leave it at that for now, and maybe in a future episode we can talk about the importance of understanding worldview as you witness to others and witnessing to someone who's postmodern, maybe someone who has an atheist worldview, and how you would approach those different worldviews in witnessing. But what I want to do now is actually, I want to go on to a question that someone asked me here recently. And by the way, if you would like to ask me a question, I have a voicemail number set up, and you can just give me a call and leave a voicemail if you'd like to ask a question that can be used on the podcast. So the number is 747-221-6478, okay? So I'll say that again, 747-221-6478. So if you'd like to give me a call and leave a voicemail that I will try to respond to on one of our next podcasts, and in that voicemail, if you want to leave your name and maybe your email to get back to, and also if you have a website or a blog, you can leave that as well. So, got a great question today from Hannah. In fact, and it works very well with this topic of worldview also. So, let's listen to Hannah's question here.
Hi, Caleb. This is Hannah, and I'm calling to see if you can answer a question for me on your next podcast. The question is, I was wondering why in the Old Testament God required the Israelites to kill entire people groups, but in some instances he would allow them to spare some of the people in those groups. If you could answer that, that would be great. Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Great question, Hannah. And, you know, I think that this question really, it sort of goes to maybe a deeper question. And really, it comes back to a worldview question. And this is kind of interesting because we did a question answer time this past Friday when I was at the Slavic Youth Conference here. And a very similar question was asked. It was not quite as detailed as your question, but the question was, why did God command the Israelites to kill entire people groups, including women and children? And I think that, first of all, ultimately, it does go back to a worldview type of a question, because the assumption is that, and for many who look at the Old Testament and say, wow, you know, there's a different God in the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament, there's a worldview assumption of that is wrong, especially to kill the young and the innocent. And so we struggle with that in our worldview, especially today in a worldview of tolerance and respect and honor for all peoples. That seems very judgmental and exclusive. And so how do you deal with that? And in particular, Hannah, I think your question deals with the problem of there were, of course, instances where God told the Israelites, go in and just wipe out a whole nation. Men, women, children, everyone, everything. In fact, I think it says everything that is breathing, kill it, okay? And, of course, that is very difficult to deal with. But then there were also instances where, for instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16, Deuteronomy 20:16, God commanded them to go in and kill everyone. But just before that, in certain cities and certain places, there were some places where it says, but the women and the little ones, livestock, and everything else in the city, all its spoil you shall take as plunder for yourselves, and you shall enjoy the spoil of your enemies. So how can that be? And that seems a little uncomfortable too, because we've got these women, you know, are they being used as concubines, or, you know, what are they using these women for? And first of all, I think that we need to look at the bigger question. Why did God command the Israelites to wipe out these nations entirely, okay? And actually, God is pretty clear about that. He says, because he does not want them to be a snare to the Israelites. He is afraid, or he is protecting the holiness of the people and making sure that they do not become enticed or tempted to worship the gods that those people worship. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is simply because these were very evil nations. They were nations that sacrificed their children. So sin had run rampant in these nations, and it was God's judgment on those nations. Now, this is not the only time that God wiped out large groups of people. Remember, this happens very early in the Bible, beginning with Noah's flood, where we don't know how many people lived, millions, I'm sure, and God wiped everyone out except for Noah and his family. And the same question can be asked there. Why did he spare Noah? Why did he just spare a few? And there were many other times, in fact, in the Old Testament, where God killed people because of sin, because sin had gone rampant. And he spared others, even with the Israelites. There was a time when the ground opened up and he swallowed a bunch of people. There was a time when he commanded them to go and kill everyone that worshiped that golden calf when they're at Mount Sinai. So we have a lot of instances like this. And you know, Hannah, the way I look at this is, instead of asking why did God command to kill all these people, I turn it around and say, why does God allow anyone to live? With sin the way it is, why does God allow anyone to live? Because the result of sin is death. The punishment of sin is death, physical death and spiritual death. And the only answer that we can really give is God's mercy. And God is merciful even towards people who do not believe in him by allowing them to live for a period of time. And so as we look at some of these passages, like in Deuteronomy, where it talks about sparing someone, again, it's just God's mercy. That's all I can say. It's God's mercy that he allowed some of them to live. And I think there's a final, you know, issue here that I think is important to realize, and that is, you know, Hannah, I'm really glad that you notice these things, because oftentimes when we read these Old Testament stories, they almost seem like fantasy to us. And we fail to realize the significance of those deaths. And ultimately, we fail to realize the significance of how terrible sin really is. In fact, I wrote a post on this some time ago called The Dumbing Down of Bible Stories. And I'll put a link to this in the notes for this podcast, The Dumbing Down of Bible Stories. So, for instance, we use as children's Bible stories, you know, Noah, where you had millions of people drowning. I mean, it's a terrible story of these people that died. Or David and Goliath. I mean, David chopped the guy's head off and took it home. These are brutally gruesome stories, but what do they tell us? They tell us how terrible sin really is, and the terrible results of sin that ultimately end up in death. And sometimes that death is actually called for by God. So I think that's something that we need to carefully consider when we read these Old Testament stories of people that were killed because of sin, is to realize the terrible nature of sin, because it's so easy for us to just kind of skim over those stories, and it's so easy for us to skim over our own sin. So thank you for that question, Hannah, and like I said, if you would like to ask a question, you can just give me a call at 747-221-6478. All right, friends, thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for Ukraine. Don't forget to download that 7-day prayer plan for Ukraine. I will put it in the notes for this podcast, which is superfamily.org/27. All right, friends, blessings.